That we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
Yeah, we're the number one live streaming show that I'm the host of.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
Streaming live.
Feel the power.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and this is a daily live show where we talk to, typically, not the last couple days, but typically we talk to other creators about their creator journey to inspire you in your creator journey. So if you know a creator and you're watching this live, go ahead, share this with them, because the guy that I have on the show today is the real deal. So real that he left a six-figure job to go step out on his own to be a creator. Super, super talented guy. Can't wait to bring him on here in a few minutes. You may have heard of him. His name is Sean Anthony. He's the host of a podcast called School's Over Now What, where he is inspiring tons of people, tons of entrepreneurs, business owners, all that fun stuff. Now, today's episode is a little bit different for a couple reasons. One, I just moved into a new studio space, as you may have heard me talk about over the last couple days, and it doesn't have AC. For whatever reason, the AC went out of, but I live in Puerto Rico for like 10 months, so I'm used to no AC. I'm used to being hot. So if you start seeing me sweat, it's normal for me. So I'm not uncomfortable, so don't be uncomfortable for me. But then also, I want to spend a lot of time with Sean talking about his journey and, how can we as well leave our comfort zone and become who we really want to be and tap into what we really want to do. So I'm going to cut out all the other segments except for one, because we got a new sponsor of the show. You may have seen it in the beginning if you were watching the pre-show, but we got our friends at Liquid Death. Have sponsored the show. They have actually sent me a ton of water, sent me like 5 cases of water. Super good. I picked this up at a local Whole Foods, took a couple drinks of it, was like, dude, this is great, man. This is awesome. I reached out or made a post. Somebody connected us, and they're like, yeah, let's do some collaborations. So go check those guys out, Liquid Death. You can find them at your nearest Whole Foods. But they are, this is my favorite one. And you can hear it's empty, the sparkling water one. So super good, super interesting branding. But the cool thing is they also give 10% of all the profits go back to, to kill plastic pollution. So they have an initiative with their product as well. So go check those guys out and quench your thirst. Kill your thirst, as they would say. Now, I want to bring in my friend Sean. This is going to be a super casual conversation. We're going to dive in to how in the world do you leave a six-figure job? I mean, think about that. Six figures to step out on your own. Pretty brave, pretty ballsy, but pretty amazing and inspiring. So my friend Sean Anthony, what's up, my man?
What's going on, man? First off, man, I love your show. I love the setup. I love how the new studio is looking. Like, I can't tell there's no AC from where I'm at.
My big old forehead is about to start sweating. And a five head. It's going to start sweating.
Excited to be here, man. Excited to add value to your audience.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, you've added a ton of value to me. I know you and I connected over on Clubhouse, which at that point was a booming social audio platform. Now, maybe not so much, but I'm glad it was good when it was good, because you and I met, connected on there. And although we come from vastly different places in the podcasting world, I'm mostly in the fishing space. You're mostly in, celebrity podcasting. You've interviewed some amazing people on your show. But we, one thing I noticed about you and I, man, is our values aligned from the creator aspect, but then also from like monetization, helping people, that kind of stuff. So, dude, it's an honor to have you on the show. And I know if the people listening and watching or listening to the replay get 1% of the value that I've gotten, then they're going to be set free to another level, man. So I appreciate you being here.
Man, thank you for those kind words, man. And me every day, man. And as soon as you hit me to do this, I was like, yeah, of course, it's Billy, man. Let's do it.
Let's go, man. Let's go. So Sean, I'm going to do something I never, ever do. I never really say, hey, take me to the backstory, because I like to pull stuff out that I really want to talk about. But I'm curious, man, how did you even get into this whole podcasting space? Like, how did that happen for you?
Yeah, man, I stumbled across podcasting. Podcasting was never like the space for me. I never had any intentions or desire to wanting to do it. I didn't even know it existed. You know, what happened is that I happened to take you a little bit further back. I was just excelling in my career field. When I was 14, I became a big nightlife party promoter. My brother was on stage. He introduced me to the whole party game. So I understood like marketing. I understood how to get people into an audience. I mean, I was partying with like Rick Ross and Young Jeezy. You know, and so at 14, you know, I threw my first party, made $6,000, which was crazy as a 14-year-old.
Wow.
But I took that skill set and I went to an HBCU. And I went to Winston-Salem State University, where I was very successful in the party aspect. But then everybody, Billy, everybody graduated. They all graduated. They all left. You know, so I had to take that skill set to corporate, which then led me to being promoted 6 times in 4 years. And I took a job promotion that had me 6 hours away from my family. Wow. And that's where I stumbled across that weird purple app, that podcasting app, you know. And for me, it changed my life. You know, I was listening to guys like Ed Milette, Chris Drummapath, Evan Carmichael. All these guys, I say their names respectfully because they've all been on my show now, but I recognized really quickly it didn't look like me, it didn't sound like me, and it was a completely different audience that I could reach. And I watched my success, right? The selfish side, I think, as you grow up, sometimes we see our success, but I saw, you know, my friends not succeeding. They didn't know what to do after school, after education. And so I wanted to create a show, and that was School's Over, Now What?
Wow. Man, that's amazing. So I love that, first of all, you recognized, I mean, and I think this is the thing about podcasting or anything, really, anything, any industry is like, when you're in it and you're studying it and maybe you're a consumer of it, but then you go, hey, there's this missing puzzle piece, man. I'm not being represented here. My community's not being represented here. And how do I, you know, and I think that's pretty innovative of you to, you know, even right after college to be leaning into this. So how long have you been doing School's Over Now What?
Yeah, and end of June, so coming around like end of June, June 29th, we'll be right at 4 years. Yeah, right at 4 years.
Wow, man. And how many episodes is that?
Right now we're on approaching episode 211. We haven't missed a single week since then. And it's been game on, man.
Love that, man. I think the average for every podcaster is like, or not every podcaster, but the average quitting spot's like 7 to 10. So you blew
past
that.
Very early.
Yeah.
Very early, right? This thing called Pod Fade. I think people approach the game so differently now, where they're like, oh, I want to start something. Oh, I want to do something. They just start talking, and then they realize, uh-oh, I ain't got nothing else to talk about. Oh, are they even paying attention? You know, and they lose their excitement, enthusiasm, and they stop right around that mark, that 7 to 9. You never see them again.
So man, when you started your podcast, did you have like this 30,000-foot vision, or were you just the guy who said, I'm going to hit record and see what happens?
Oh, nah, definitely wasn't the guy to go hit record and see what happens. I had the vision of, you know, that evolved, right? My vision was, all right, I'm going to bring in people who have, you know, they figured out what's next in life. They figured out, okay, what should I do after school, right? So I knew that was the vision, but I also wanted people to get an idea of me, you know? So in the very first episode, I talked about what got me to that point. And I gave them the backstory of Sean Anthony so that the audience will buy into me and me being on a mission to truly give that answer to anybody that will listen.
Mm, I love that, man. I often think too, when people start a podcast, and we'll talk about podcasting. I know you're multi-hyphen creator, but that's often the thing, dude, is like we get into it. And I did this early on in my podcasting journey. I got into it and I was all about the guests. I was all about, you know, like, how can I bring value to the guests? How can I do this? You know, blah, 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 blah. Maybe they'll share my episode. Maybe they'll do whatever. And I didn't realize that people, sure, they might come for the guests. They might come for the content. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to hang out, it's for me. It's for my personality. And if we don't share that, and I think that's what attracted me to you in Clubhouse, wasn't really, you know, because podcasting isn't rocket science. I think you and I both know that. And there's different things that different of us did that were on those panels and we were talking, you know, a little bit differently. And oh, I tried this and I did this. But none of it was like, I got to go get a degree or a PhD to figure out a podcast. But it was the delivery of how you ran those Clubhouse rooms, how you run your podcast, how you communicate and you talk. And I love that. That's what I really love about you. It's like, man, this guy's got a fantastic delivery. It's exciting. It's on point. It's, you know, the topic is still there. And I think a lot of times podcasters lose sight of like, you are the talent, man. And so I think that's why, you've gotten where you are because you are the talent.
Man, I love the fact that you noticed that, man. And for me, if you're listening right now, a lot of times we have a gift, but we don't know how to pay attention to it when people tell us that that is it. And for me, it was those job reviews. I would do those job reviews. Remember, I was promoted 6 times in 4 years, and I was like, I wasn't in like no little bitty job. You know, I was someone who was a brand manager for Target. I was a brand manager for Macy's. I was a brand manager for Belk. And as I'm going through all these jobs, I'm excelling. I remember those job reviews, and they would say, man, the way you speak, like, make people pay attention, or, hey, your connections, your collaboration skills are insane. Like that. And it was always exceed expectations. Mm-hmm. So then I sat back and I was like, well, dang. And I noticed when I would present, like I would do presentations in front of like the CEO of Macy's, they would be like literally right beside me. And I would introduce them to like Microsoft. So then I have like I would have Microsoft in their stores and in the collaboration, and they would write about it, and it would just go really big. And I'm like, okay, wow, man, I gotta do this. And it was a particular person who reported to somebody that reported to me, who said something to me about my voice and how it sounded. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna try something, you know, and I wanted to do it. I think sometimes you know inside of you there's a spark, and you got to apply action. And when you apply action to that idea, it may not be what you think you're going to do, but it turns out being something bigger, you know? So yeah, what's happened with me. And even in terms of Clubhouse, like I watched everybody for probably about 2 weeks, just listening in rooms, trying to figure out what my angle would be. And then I caught it. And I say, you know what? It's going to be podcast Secrets Revealed. They come in this room, I'm going to give them that work. You know?
Yeah, right.
And people did. And in the beginning stages, we're talking Lewis Howes, Pat Flynn, Million Dollars Worth of Game. You name it, Earn Your Leisure, they were all there.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember being in those rooms, and I remember, you know, just, and that was the thing, man. And one thing that you just said that I love, and I think this is, especially as you get, you know, older, or I've gotten older anyway, you know, I think so many times, like, humility is like this false thing that does, I mean, it's like, you know, it's too put on. It's like, I'm trying to be the most humble guy ever. And sometimes when people give you a compliment, you know, you step back and go, well, okay, yeah, but then you like try to flip it. But I've done the same thing in my creator journey, when, and that's why I started live streaming. That's why I started podcasting as well, because people go, man, you know what? You're pretty good. You know, you're pretty good on camera. You look like you're having a lot of fun, or whatever. It looks easy for you. I can never do that. And so I listened to that, and I was like, well, maybe they're on to something. So I love what you said, man. That's a big takeaway for somebody listening or watching, is listen to the people around you, or if you're bold enough, just go ask them, like, hey, what do you think I'm good at, man? Like, if I just, you know, I think that's a good thing, man, that you recognize that in these corporate meetings, in these, you know, where you're different. People are going, hey, man, this is a little different. This is awesome. And then you leaned into that.
You know, what's funny, Billy, and I think about it, man, I was thinking about it. I would always throw like a little punchline in there. Everyone, like, when you're in those corporate settings, all they care about is sales. You know, all they care about is sales and meeting an end goal. And depending on where we were at and what we were talking about, what season it was in, I could have a football analogy or whatever it was. And I would just see them stuck. And I said, I was like, okay, got it. And then they put me like on a fast track, and I was just gone. But dang, it was those moments.
Yeah, man. Well, and I think those are the moments where it's like you stand out from the crowd. You know, I think so many times as creators, it's like, oh, I'm going to, and it's good to study. I mean, I study the Pat Flynns of the world. I study, you know, the Lewis Howes. I study these guys because they are running ahead of me. They're, you know, they figured it out, whatever it is. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll try to be the Gary Vaynerchuk or whoever, you know, whoever it is, and we lose our own identity, man. So how have you, as a creator, you know, kind of found and held on to your own identity? Is there like some strategies that you do to keep that in check?
Yeah, I think you always need to have like a North Star. Like, you always need to have, you know, I would say at least 2 to 3 examples of what you want to become. Right. And I think that what you have to do at that point is, how can you put your sauce to it? How can you put your own swag to it? And so it feels like it's genuinely you, you know. And for me, that's always been the case. You know, whether it was becoming wanting to become a better interviewer, whether it was becoming, you know, someone that's going to teach the podcast game, if it was becoming now what I'm doing now in talent management, representing so many different people, you know, in that aspect, you know, and then remember your uniqueness, right? Like, what was that unique draw that you had that others just couldn't have? Like you can go work at plenty of places, but that doesn't mean that you have what it takes to do exactly what you're going to do. Right? Yeah. I don't care if someone said, "Oh, I worked at the Oprah Winfrey Show, and I did this with that person." Okay, that's all past tense. You're not with them no more, right? Yeah. So, what are you doing to propel yourself and excel? Yeah, you got on the job training and on the job experience. That's cool, but what are you like? And how are people attracted to you? Because anybody can go on LinkedIn and get a job, but what can you do on your own?
That's good, man. I love that. I think that's all good advice to figure out your unique positioning and lean into it. And don't be afraid to lean into it. And if you fail, you fail. You know, it's same with all the stuff that we're doing as content creators. It's like, dude, I throw mud against the wall faster and harder than anybody. And if I fail, I fail, you know, whatever that means. But I learn, you know, a lot of stuff along the way, and I figure out how not to do something. I figure out something that no one else has at times. So, man, we've talked a lot about your corporate career, your job, like, obviously, you're brand managing for these huge corporations that we all shop at and know and love. So how in the world did you go from that to like, I'm out of here. I'm gonna leave the comfy, cushy job and I'm going to go out on my own. And I was a part of that journey a little bit. I mean, I heard little bits and pieces on Clubhouse and I was like, come on, dude, let's go. I was just rooting for you the whole time. And then when you're like, I'm out, I stepped out. I'm like, yeah, freedom, man. Another one. Get some freedom here. I was proud, man. So walk us through that journey of kind of how that happened.
Yeah, man. You have to like I utilize a couple of things. One, you know, if anyone's listening and you're excelling in your career, but you also are excelling in a side business or a company or whatever, and you're doing your own thing and it's acquiring revenue. One of the things that I caught on really quickly was you have to have 2 years of tax records in order to utilize an LLC to like get like the major things, like the house, if you wanted a certain car, possibly there's other ways to get around the car aspect. But when I caught wind of that, I said, okay, I'm going to do this the legit way, the right way. I'm going to utilize the on paper assets of working at a company. I'm going to legitimize my business so that if it does take 2 years to get the tax records, okay, that's fine. But how do I speed this up, right? Mm-hmm. So I sped it up by utilizing my job to acquire those things, even though I had got my side hustle at the time over six figures. You know, that side hustle was over six figures, but there still were some things that I wanted to get for the fam. I wanted to get the house, right? I wanted to check that off. I didn't want to wait. And the cool thing about it is this, is that I've worked, you know, I excel, you know, six times in 4 years. I was just excelling. I didn't want to spend all that time in the past and not get nothing for it.
Yeah.
Right. I can't acquire all of that and not get nothing out of the deal. Yeah. So I got that out of the deal. I made my business legit. I started setting up. Okay, what did I learn from this company? How did they operate? How did they move? What reports did they pay attention to? You know, how can I, you know, then take those type of setups, daily scheduling, task, and routine, and apply it to me? You know, and apply it to, you know, it's no difference, right? If I was a brand manager for Target and Macy's and Belk, I could brand manage a human being.
Absolutely, absolutely, man.
So and that was it. And then also, too, it just became overwhelming. And you talk about trying to be humble. Like, imagine having a meeting, like, with a bunch of people who are at a company. Right. And they are worried about sales and all that. And the back of your phone going off and it's like Forbes, your phone going off and it's like a big deal conference, your phone going off and it's like a university ready to pay you. I remember the first check I got from a college university, I got it from a school I could never get into. You know, so I got a check from Temple University for $4,000 for 30 minutes. Right. And this is virtual. Shit wasn't even. This, I don't know if I can cuss.
Wow. Oh, you're fine. Virtual. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This was virtual. It wasn't even in person. So
it's awesome, dude.
And so all this is happening while I'm still working at this job, you know, and so it became hard, the Sean Anthony that I was becoming, it became hard for me to be around that environment knowing I had so many other things going on. So I was constantly moving. You know, people probably was looking for me at some point. I don't know. It was always so funny to me, though, Billy, now I think about it. I had people that reported to me, a lot of people that reported to me, and they would look for me. In the back of my mind, I said to myself, dude, I'm your boss. Just go do what you got to do. Yeah, right. You know, just go, man. Just go. You know, if something goes wrong, I got you. But just go do your thing. Yeah. You know, so that was always so funny to me. But I'm very grateful for having those moments, because now when I'm doing and moving how I'm moving, I'm like, yo, I cannot believe I was doing that.
Wow.
You know, but I had to do it.
Man, and I think that's what separates, you know, the doers from the wanters. It's like the achievers from the people who they say they want to do it, but it's the people who take action. So, I run into this a lot when I'm helping people and I'm helping content creators or entrepreneurs or whatever. They go, I want to do this. I want. But then I'm like, well, where's the action? Like, even the little action, the little win will kind of set you up. And one thing that you said, I mean, there's a couple things there I want to kind of recap on. One is, you know, you really mentioned using that position that you're in. So if somebody's watching this or listening to it and you got this dream of like, man, I want to do what these guys are doing right now and create content at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and get paid for it and have brand deals and all this, it is really about learning that skill set. Because I'm very similar to you, man. I work for several different corporations. I work for some nonprofits. And through that, I learned everything. I learned how this camera works. I learned how these lights work. I learned how to set up a studio. I learned all this stuff. And then instead of just being the griper who was like, man, I hate this. I don't want to work here. I was like, okay, cool. I can use this later. Maybe I can take this later. And so, you know, for you and everyone listening too, man, that's, you know, I think that's key to say, like, if you're in that job right now that you hate, that you don't want to go back to tomorrow, look around and change your perspective and start putting stuff in your tool bag and learn, because they're spending millions of dollars to figure out how that organization system works. They're spending millions of dollars to figure out how to hire, you know, 100 employees a month. Like, and if you want to scale to that, then let that be your education. And then, dude, I love what you said. Like, I went, got a $4,000 check for a 30-minute presentation from a college I wasn't qualified to go to.
Get in there.
God, dude, it gave me freaking chills when you said that, because I'm like, I love that, man, because I was not a good student. I, on paper, am probably, like, way below average and should be not doing anything, you know, but bagging groceries, which, by the way, respect to people who do that. I've done it, you know, I've done that before. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying that's whatever. But yeah, dude, I love that story. I mean, that's a book right there. Like,
yeah, man. Shout out to Temple University. They sent me a mug and a t-shirt, I think, too.
You went there, you did that and got the t-shirt. That's what I'm talking about, man. I love it, man. So as a creator, okay, so you kind of give us a little hint of how you're getting paid as a creator. So you're doing the podcast. I imagine that is probably income generating either through, you know, well, I'll let you tell me. I won't imagine, I won't assume. I'll let you tell me. How does that one particular piece of the puzzle generate income?
Well, it's so funny, you know, even with the podcast in general, people always say, oh, I want a brand deal. Oh, I want a brand deal. I've had multiple brand deals, offers. I've had potential podcast companies wanting to just purchase the podcast and on a IP tip. But the quickest way I got to the money is I became my own ad. You know, yeah, think about it. Like, I was one of the very first people to start this podcasting that looked like I look, but I also wanted to not be the only one. So I wanted to teach people how to actually do podcasting. And so that led to me creating ebooks, led to me creating courses, led to me creating private communities, led to me creating, you know, the ability to coach you on an aspect of one time only or three, you know, 3 month package, a 6 month package. And what I would do is I would run different ads in my show. So the first ad I would run into my show was actually, you know, inquiring and getting people to be a lead. And it's like, hey, yo, if you want to start a podcast, this is what a podcast has done for me. You know, it grabbed my, you know, my free ebook, The Podcast Starter Kit. And I just found so many people wanted to start a podcast. And then they're already liking, listening, and trusting you. And they're seeing what you're doing. And they're seeing how I'm moving. You know, and then I would be able to say, okay, you've gotten the ebook. Let's look at, you know, one of these other options, whether it is, you know, a pay for a script, a pay for an ebook, pay for a course. You know, it's providing, you know, your audience with all the things that they already want from you. You just, they don't just know you exist yet or have it to offer. So start talking about it. A lot of times people say, I want a brand deal, I want a sponsorship, and they'll, you know, they'll get a brand deal with a company that makes no sense. Like you're up here talking about manscaping and you're a woman. it's like funny, you know, but it's like, all right, she's selling the manscaping, you know, but end of the day, like, what's your ROI on that? You know, it's a small chunk change, you know, so it's not like a big deal. And then if anything, you might have, you know, offended your audience, so you might have turned your audience off and they're like, man, I don't want to hear no more ads about X, Y, and Z. You know, so then there's also the aspect of affiliate marketing, where you can have someone on your show who you gave a spectacular interview. And you know what? When you had an affiliate marketing with someone who has a course, someone that has a product to sell, and you know it's very popular, as a podcaster, you're going to give them the best interview they can get.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, at the very end, you're going to have everyone click that link in the show notes, purchase their course, and you're going to get paid. You know, so so many different ways, man. But that was one of the very first ways I've been making a podcast, secure the bag. And that's a lot different than the other thing I'm doing.
Yeah, man. I love that. And I think it is one of those things where I think as a creator, it's you know, because you look at the title of this episode, like left a, you know, six-figure job to podcast. But it's just like anything else. As a business owner, you walk into a store, they don't carry four products. Like, they carry a ton of different products and services and offers and all this kind of stuff. And so I think it's important as content creators, we realize that we, you know, it's not Billy Thorpe is not a one trick pony sitting in front of his camera all day and getting, you know, paid a salary. Like, I'm doing multiple shows, I'm working with brands, doing brand deals, doing Amazon, you know, live, all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, man, I agree with you on the, you know, the first thing is sponsorship. Now, I've had really good, you know, luck or really good strategy. I like to think of it as strategy because I actually thought it through before reaching out to sponsors. But most podcasters I talk to, they just don't have the same niche audience that I do and the opportunity to reach out to those super tight fit partners more than sponsors. So I love it that you brought it around to say, hey, figure out what you're good at in the, because you're in the process of creating a podcast. Now it's like, oh, you want to learn how to do that? Well, I have the skill set because I just learned how to do it. I've done 200 plus episodes. Like, let me show you what I did to grow this thing.
Absolutely.
And so I love that part, man, that you, once again, super self-awareness to figure out what are the goods, how can I offer them, and how can I package them up and sell them? So, man, thanks for sharing that about all that. And it's the whole ecosystem, right? Are you doing affiliate stuff and you're doing coaching, consulting? I mean, are you putting all those into your basket and selling them?
Yeah, absolutely. And all those have different clientele. They're all different clientele. And, you know, and the cool thing about podcasting has led me to now, you think about all the different people that have been on my show, you know, all the different celebrities, entrepreneurs, coaches, influencers, athletes. Now it's led to me representing them, you know, to the point where now I'm out here with the talent. I'm creating shows for them. I'm looking for different ways that they can collaborate with other people. I'm producing high level stuff, you know, and that's what, you know, that's where the real bag,
that's where the cheddar is, man.
Yeah, that's the real bag, you know. But you, what I like about, as I'm continually evolving, is that there's always something I have for you, depending, no matter what level you're at, because there's so many different people. You know, everyone can't be that type of level or pay that type of bag, but they can purchase that ebook.
Yeah,
they can get started. They can work some things out to, you know, buy that course. You know, they can work some things out to, you know, one day save enough to have a, you know, one-on-one conversation with you. You know, and there's other people who can skip the line and pay that other price. So having options is what's really been able to diversify my portfolio in terms of being able to work with me.
That's awesome, man. So when you were kind of making this decision to to leave corporate. Now, I know you talked about leveraging that money, leveraging the on paper taxes, all that kind of stuff to purchase these assets, such as a home or a car or whatever, which I think is, you know, my wife and I did the same thing. I actually went from being an entrepreneur full time to going back and working somewhere to make a home purchase. So I kind of did it the not wrong way, but a different way. I was like, oh, wait a second. I gotta have all this stuff. I mean, this is complicated. Let me just go get a job for a year and I'll come back and talk to you later. So I love that. But now on the, and then on the financial side of it, you built it. Was there a certain number where you like, hey man, I want to double my salary, or like, how did you make that goal to say, all right, I'm going to put in my month notice or two, you know, for your position, I imagine you had to do more than 2 weeks.
Dude, I was already killing it, man. I was already, even while I was working at that job, I was already having 5-figure months. I just was waiting for the house to get built.
Yeah, so I was just
at that point, you know, at that point, you're just trying to maintain, stay calm. You're just trying to act like everything cool, everything smooth.
I'm not going anywhere. What are you talking about?
I'm not going. Yeah. I would like, listen, man, it was so crazy. I look back, dude, I was traveling. Like I would take my vacation time and I would take vacation time. And it was a couple people that was hip. You know, I'll take vacation time and they'll get on the internet. And I was at like Laguna Beach and I was at like at my last house. Then I was at like Miami. Like people are smart. But yeah. I think sometimes when you have a side hustle, you have something that you're really working on, mm-hmm. and you're in a job, there's always doubters. There's always people like, well, what are they doing? Just talking? Or when they don't see the vision, then there's a few people who are very intelligent who knows, oh, it's only a matter of time. You know, for me, that's what I was doing. You know, and I did a lot of research to make that decision. And one of the best things I ever discovered, which is I'm so glad you said it, when you realized it, but you realized that a little too late, you know, hey, I got to go back. You know, I realized it and I was like, I have to acquire this. Like, I got to acquire this. And then it's game. And then I'm out of here, you know. Yeah. So I would tell anyone that's listening, when you start to see that you are making more money, right, and you aren't putting in nowhere near the time, because think about it. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about these 5-figure months, I'm going to be very clear. I was working on average 50 to 55 hours a week. I had one day a week. That one day a week was Thursday while I was off. And the funny thing about that is that people always say, well, how did you know your show was going to release on Fridays? You know how I knew? Because I only had one day to work on it. Thursday. You know, so I did all my interviews Thursday. Wow. I did all of my editing on Thursday. You know, everything came down to Thursday. You know, and that's the reason why the show came out on Friday. So after, you know, spending, you know, the time, the effort, the years, the sweat equity, and I'm like, yo, if I'm doing all this with one day a week, imagine when I finally be able to get all of it. And we're at that point now.
Man, I love that, man. I love that story that, one, it shows consistency matters. You know, I think a lot of people, that's like a word we throw around in this industry of like, yeah, consistency, you know, nobody really thinks about it. But do consistent, the person who shows up every day or every week or whatever allotted time is on their schedule to show up and crush it, like they win. They win the bag every single time. I've seen it in every industry. I've seen it with every content creator I know. The person who shows up, even when they don't want to, even when the AC is broken and I'm just sweating all over the place, I knew that this was a big opportunity for me to talk to you and a big opportunity for my audience to learn from you. I'm like, dude, I got to show up. Like, I don't care how hot it is. I don't care if the AC guy's banging in the next room. I got to show up because people are leaning on this or counting on this kind of stuff. So, man, how important was that for you? I mean, I know you had one day. You said you haven't missed an episode. Do you give a lot of credit to that consistency for your victory so far?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You ain't going to get nowhere without consistency. I think that's one thing. Also, too, like, whenever I even had the thought, like, man, I don't know if I could do this, or, oh, man, I'm feeling like, oh, man, is it the time I'm going to slow down or what? A couple of things that has helped is that I would go back and I would remember a time where I released an episode and someone told me, yo, that episode saved my life. I'll go back and I'll look at a review and I'll be like, damn, I need to keep going. You know, a lot of times as podcasters, you know, they're podcasting in caves. They're not out in public. They're not seeing people. So they don't very rarely see their influence unless they're like a conference. I did two conferences over the weekend. You know, they very rarely see their influence, you know, and a lot of times you will, though, if you go around the right places. People will say, oh, I listen to your show. You're like, dang, you listen to my show? Yeah, I listen to your show. You know, and it was that for me. You know, we'll go to church, and I think nobody listening, and somebody would be like, "Oh, by the way, you know, tell them, you know, I listen to a show." I'm like, "Oh, wow. Dang, I ain't just chilling." You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's tapping into the feedback, you know, the feedback that I was given, and that's what has helped me to be consistent and put more stuff out.
Man, I love that, dude, and I think every podcaster. And here's the thing, especially, and I'm just talking about podcasts. I know there's live streamers and artists and all that kind of stuff, and musicians are listening. But I mean, this is really across the board. Like, that fills our cup as creators. Like, when somebody, probably more than anything, really probably even more than, like, getting a check, is like somebody said, hey, man, that changed my life. Like, and a similar thing happened to me at a tackle shop when I got home from Puerto Rico. I walked in, I was buying something for my fly rod, and this guy from across the room was like, hey, man, it's you. And I'm like, looking around, I'm like, who's this guy talking to? And he's like, no, it's you from the podcast. And I'm like, oh, hey, you know, and it threw me off. But when this guy brought his phone out and started showing me these fish he caught because of the people that we bring on our show, and you know, this is helping a guy fish, like, it, in the big scheme of the world, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But for him and his family, it's like huge, because now they're enjoying all this family time on the water. And and it is those moments where I'm like, wow, man, like, I didn't realize, you know, all this work and energy is setting you up to have a better relationship with your family. So, man, I'm with you, dude. Get out wherever your community is, wherever they might be hanging, and when you get that kind of feedback. But also, as creators, man, let's give that feedback. Let's create that culture of leaving reviews and saying, hey, this show changed my life, and, you know, and whatnot, and, like, make it more public. That way other people can, you know, be inspired by it as well. So I love that you shared that, man, because – I know a lot of podcasters don't get it, and even myself being new to, hey, it's you. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Cool, man. It's like,
wow.
I'm just chilling.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not like people are lining up for my autograph, but one person was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it, man. You got me enough juice to go for another year. Let's go.
Yeah. So. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know how hard it's been. They don't know how long you've been doing it. They don't know how many times you probably second-guess yourself on whether you're making an impact. And then for them to do that means a lot.
How many times you hit the record button on one episode just to try to get it right?
Absolutely. Or how many times you didn't hit it and you just started talking. So
Sean, you're doing all kinds of stuff, man. You're coaching people and podcasting. You're helping people promote their brands, and you're helping a lot of entrepreneurs promote through podcasting and through different creative fields. Out of all the stuff that you do, man, what's like the thing that you love the most? Because I know all of us do stuff we love and stuff we don't, but what's the one thing that you like, I can't wait to do this week?
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, I like moving. I like movement. I like actually going places, you know, that's stuff I enjoy. I also like the introductions and connecting people with life-changing stuff for them in their business. So the ROI is really big. That's what excites me. You know, and being the mover, the shaker, the person that like behind the scenes that really is orchestrating this is important to me. And I like that a lot, man. I like that more than probably anything, because it's almost like a magician, because you know what's about to happen. Right.
And so
to me, that's what I enjoy now. And it excites me. It comes with a lot of its benefits, too, beyond just money. But it comes with, you know, seeing the world. You know, seeing the world in a different view, a different lens, you know, different than, you know, putting on your outfit and going to clock in at that job that you hate and making sure things are priced correctly. And like, nobody cares about that stuff in life.
Yeah.
You know, now that I'm actually out of that world, like, nobody cares about that stuff in life. They know what they want. They want it. However, you can give it to them. If you can give it to them in a very polite way with great, excellent customer service, then you're probably getting back as a guest. But they aren't at home. A customer isn't at home thinking about, did the mannequins get changed today? Yeah. They're not at home wondering, did new shorts come off the truck?
Yeah.
They're not at home wondering, you know, has the front end of the building been taken care of in the lawn properly? That stuff doesn't matter in life, you know. And for me now, what matters in life is impact. What matters in life is, you know, really giving people insight. What matters in life is really showing people what's possible, you know, and hopefully I'm doing that every day.
Yeah, man. Well, I definitely think you are, and I love what you're doing, man. That's why I wanted you, you know, on the show today. And like I said, I'm grateful that Clubhouse was booming. I'm grateful that you and I were on that platform together. I know we live in the same state, actually probably just a couple hours away from each other, so we need to do it IRL. Is that what all the cool kids are calling it these days? I feel so old, man.
Does that mean in real life?
Yeah, in real life.
Okay, cool.
we need to do some in real life meeting and hang out. But, man, so last question here is, how can people get in touch with you? How can they find you the fastest? I know I got your Instagram handle here, which is, by the way, if people can't read that, it's Sean R. Anthony. Make sure you put that R in the middle there. So
yeah, Sean R. Anthony underscore. I didn't put that part, but as Sean R. Anthony underscore.
Bad. I'll fix that.
There are so many, man. One thing about when you excel in life, the bots come out and people create fake pages. So make sure you follow me at Sean R. Anthony underscore. Listen to the podcast School's Over Now What. You're going to be, you know, just mind blown with the amount of people we've had on the show, from Grammy Award winners like Estelle to Beyonce's dad, Matthew Knowles. We've already talked about Ed and Grant and all those guys, but there's so many powerful, impactful people telling their stories, giving you the absolute recipe on what they did to figure out life. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, man. Awesome, dude. Well, Sean, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to have you back on. Everybody, you know, the question everyone always asks me is like, should I have celebrities on my show? And then how do I get them on my show? And I'm like, I don't have the answer to either one of those, because I've had one celebrity on my show in, like, you know, all these years of podcasting. So we'll have to bring you back on. Maybe we can dive more into some strategies of different aspects of creatorship and podcasting and that kind of stuff. So it'd be cool.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure being here. And you guys should always remember, like, just dream it, believe it, go out and get it.
Dream it, believe it, go out and get it, man. I love it, Sean. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you so much for jumping on the show. And like I said, we'll talk to you soon. And you guys go, be sure to follow Sean, man. He is literally, and I know I've been singing his praises throughout this episode, but literally one of the most real guys I've met. You know, you can really tell a lot about a person by their presentation, by their voice. This is literally the first time we've seen each other face to face virtually. And he is the real deal. He's the real McCoy. He's going out there. He's doing the work. He's taking the action. And you want to follow people like that. Similar to what we were saying earlier, there might be people in your circle who are saying, I don't know if you can really do it. I don't know. Maybe that guy can do it, but maybe you can't. And you want to surround yourself with people like Sean who are saying, hey, you can do it. Let me show you how. Let me show you the way it worked for me. And you take up pieces of that journey and see if they'll work for you as well. So be sure to go follow Sean. I'm going to post all his information here in the show notes. That way you can go follow him and join me tomorrow. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. Once again, I've been in transition mode. I'm in the studio space. I did some Amazon Live stuff yesterday, but I'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. It's a surprise right now. Maybe I'll get a surprise guest on. Who knows? Or I might just hang out and do some more studio work and show you guys what I'm working on. Because I got all different stuff, man. I switch out cameras and all kinds of stuff. So I'm being a little nerd over here trying to figure it all out. But until then, go create something great. Go hit that record button. Hit that go live button. And don't listen to the lies of your own mind or that of the mouth of other people. And go change the world with your message, because that's why we do all of this, is because your message matters. And if you feel like you got to share it, then go share it. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.